There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 930, March 21st. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say London calling from the underground Paddington Station. Prancing horse on the winning platform. Misery loves company as Red Bull gravy train is derailed. Lucky man now is the mystery man. Back to Mr. Rogers, the Royal Highness of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, double DNF officially caused by bad karma. Ferrari back on top, a feel-good moment. Magnussen is the big story of the day. And the promising McLaren fails to live up to said promises. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program up on the cloud. So just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab right there on the front page. You know deep down you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you very much, sir. Very excited. Just got into London town this morning. But what a fantastic Grand Prix season opener we had. Ferrari is back and just beautiful. A maximum winning kick delivered by the prancing horse. And what a season opener. It was like Shades of Dijon Prenois. When the red car and the Red Bull were fighting, especially lap 17, 18, 19, it was absolutely fantastical. Did you enjoy the festivities, Mr. Rogers?
I did enjoy the festivities, but for me, did not call this a fantastic Grand Prix, of course, because, you know, I'm very sensitive. But it was a very, very interesting Grand Prix with all sorts of ingredients tossed into the big salad. And I'm telling you, we were right. Preseason testing was pretty spot on. And Ferrari did impress. And for me, the big story is not only Kevin Magnussen, but the way Leclerc fought up against the bad boy, Max Verstappen. It was impressive, and it was clean. It was bad to the bone. And I'm telling you, Verstappen, I don't think was on his game. He was nervous. There were issues with the car that I think they knew ahead of time, but didn't divulge. Hence the nervousness. He was uncomfortable. He did cuss a lot. I have to admit, he reminded me that he is a chip off the old block. But nevertheless, the excitement between Max and Leclerc through the Grand Prix was fantastic. I'm really glad they didn't DNF early in the race, or we would have been robbed of awesome driving. And of course, with the karma question coming up and all that, and people thinking that they're the bad team, and now apparently Hamilton is in the good team. It's very interesting how things change so quickly. But there you have it, Ness.
Yes, sir. And the word karma is pretty much going around the block on the interweb, which is very, very interesting. But, sir, before we get into nitty-gritty details and mushy peas on the Grand Prix, shall we take a quick look at qualificazione?
Okay, and I would like to know a little bit more about qualifying, because unfortunately, the budget F1 Weekly Palatial Studios cable package did not include qualifying, because that's a premium ESPN channel So I had to just look at text and go, ooh, ooh. So please fill us in, Ness.
Well, you know, I sent you the link, but I think, you know, what was happening, I was already at the airport, Tampa airport, and for whatever reason, I don't think it went through. So I will send you a couple of links that you can go and, you know, I'll tell you, it's pretty pathetic. I subscribe to the Formula One feed, and whether it's Jeep Formula 2 or Formula 3 or Formula 1, it's like, works like a intermittent wiper. Stop, go, stop, go. So I have to go and, you know, these streaming websites you have available on the web, I watch on those. How sad is that? But you know, hopefully you will watch qualifying for the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, which is coming up on Saturday. So Mr. Rogers, as you may already know, Q3 was going to be a Max moment. He was on a real high, so was Christian Horner, and so was Dr. Marco. And of course, why not? The guy won the most races last year, most laps led and anything and everything. But the prancing horses put on quite a show, with Leclerc grabbing pole from Max, his first pole position since Baku last year. And total, he has now 10 pole positions, so that's pretty impressive. Row 2 was rinse and repeat, second Ferrari of Carlito, also known as Carlos Sainz Jr., ahead of second Red Bull of Checo, also known as Sergio Perez. K-Mag did a blitzkrieg on Mick Schumacher on his return to Haas and F1. Early days in the season, but if this trend continues, and I have a feeling it will, and I say this because of, I've followed K-Mag's career for a long time and also Mick's, I think in that case, Mick's apple strudel will be in big doo-doo. Even Ralf Schumacher has said that this is a reset time for his nephew. And we wish everybody all the best, but somehow, you know, in motor racing, normally you get an alpha dog, even when both dogs are barking equally. So we'll see how it works out. Now, LCH on row 3, with a very familiar face alongside. Very impressive, Mr. Bottas in his alpha debut. Lewis was a second faster than George Russell, who made a mistake on his final qualifying run, but qualified 9th. The only debutant in Formula 1 this season, Guan Yu Zhou, qualified 15th, which is pretty impressive, especially he's driving an Alfa Romeo. Big surprise was both McLarens out by Q3. So a lot was expected from McLarens, but they got issues just like the other team, starting with M, so it's no longer good. And now a word from our sponsor, Clark White and his Love Unlimited Orchestra presents Machismo Was Ocho on the Grid. In plain simple English, that would be 8. Final analysis. Ferrari has been down in the boondocks for a while. Now they are on the Belinda Carlisle program. We got the beat. And the competition will feel the heat from the Maranello Cucina. Anything surprise you, sir? I'm guessing you were pretty happy to see Lewis on row 3.
Yes, I was giggling and chuckling because it really made Bottas feel super good. I mean, he was warm and fuzzy inside. You know, he had his bowl of porridge, of course. And I thought that was great. I thought the Alpha performed well. Apparently, the Ferrari engine is spreading the goodness with their sister teams like Haas and Alfa Romeo. So I'm really happy about that. And the other thing, I checked the website right before we started the podcast. Mercedes has not claimed that Ferrari is cheating or anything. We haven't seen any expanding tires. So far, it's clean, and he's going to get to keep the win. You know, they're jaded over there at Ferrari. They're very sensitive. So I'm very, very happy for them. I was just so happy for the Pope and everybody else in Italia.
Well, on that happy note, I do have a question for you, sir. If Charles Leclerc wins the first 4 races, are you going to start calling him, he's just a lucky driver?
Oh, no. I mean, you saw how he drove in this race. Obviously, he can handle Max, and he did it very cleanly. And I didn't want to bring up anything about last year and the accidents and the freaking out. But let's see how clean this is kept. Like I said, I think that Verstappen had a compromised car from the beginning. We heard the chatter on the radio at the grid before the standing start. So, yes, I think Verstappen was not comfortable throughout this whole Grand Prix, and he was probably expecting a DNF earlier. But in the end, I was really impressed with Leclerc and Carlos Sainz Jr.'s driving up against Max. And you could tell he had already a plan. He had a organized thought process on how to deal with Mr. Verstappen. So very interesting. And because we were hoping, I'd like to see Lewis Hamilton get back into fighting with Max, because that's always a lot of laughs. We've seen that, and it's lots of laughs. But no, great race in terms of Ferrari having the pace, but we know Red Bull has the pace too, so let's hope this lasts for a while. For me, if nobody claims that Ferrari's cheating after four race wins, I'll really be surprised, because we saw what happened in the past, and it's ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly. Anyway, back to you, Chief.
Well, you're right. The team, the whole Scuderia Ferrari did a tremendous job. There were no looking for tires when the cars came in for the pit stop. But it was an overall fantastical performance. Very well deserved first place, very well deserved second place. But I have to say, knowing the bully, and which is what we enjoy about Max, I was expecting Leclerc to receive the treatment Seb got from Max in Mexico few years ago. But once he covered Max at the start, which he was able to do at the restarts also, he looked in command, but was within striking distance of Max. And man, like I said, those laps, three laps, 17, 18, 19, they were just absolutely, that's what motor racing is all about. You don't need 59 lead changes in a 30 lap race, but this was the essence of motor racing. Now, you do remember, I think it was in Austria when Charles Leclerc was mugged by Max Verstappen, and in the very next race, Max tried to do the same thing, and Charles held his position. So, you know, he is not a wallflower. He's not going to roll over and say, oh yeah, Jos is the boss, and you are the new king, the new world champion. Let me move over. So that's won't be happening. And it will really, you know, we're going to see in Saudi Arabia if the top two teams, which right now are Ferrari and Red Bull, if they are like within 0.1, 0.2 of a second, then we're going to have a real doozy, at least in the first half of the season. So a late race safety car in the season opener did not provide the sensation felt in the season finale last year. Question is, where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio and Michael Massey? The internet, like I said, is buzzing with machismo's favorite word, karma. And I got more than one text message also, utilizing the word karma. A bull that is bleeding and fuming is always a welcome sight for the hunters. First, Sainz Jr. slipped by to make a Ferrari 1-2, and then Max going into the pitch to retire was not what we wanted to see. And like you said, we don't want to see these people crashing and taking each other out. Up until then, the real question was, Car 44, where are you?
Car 54, where are you?
And then Lewis Labastie Hamilton was all over the second Red Bull of Perez, as David Hobbs used to say on F1 broadcast, like a cheap suit, not from Men's Warehouse, but maybe from Dunkin' Donuts subsidiary for selling suits. Perez's spin on the last lap was caused by power switch off, or so they say. 2018 was the last time a Ferrari led a race from start to finish. So I must say, a very impressive win number 3 for the man from Monaco. And this is their first win since Sebastian Vettel one in Singapore back in 2019. So overall, fantastic race, at least for me. And this is what the race winner, Mr. Charles Leclerc, had to say, and I quote, "So happy. I keep repeating myself, but the last 2 years have been incredibly difficult for the team, and we knew this was going to be a big opportunity for the team, And the guys have done such an incredible job giving us and building this amazing car. So for now, it's starting in the best way possible. Pole position, victory, fastest lap, 1-2 today with Carlos. We couldn't hope for better, end quote. And Mr. Jacques Villeneuve has come out and said that his favorite for the season to win the championship is Carlos Sainz Jr. And I think that between Carlos and Charles, we're going to have we could have a contender for the championship. What say you?
Yes, it's very possible. But don't forget, Lewis Hamilton is shooting for the championship for the number 8. He's dying to get this Michael Schumacher record done so he could retire in peace and go and work in his garden with his mummy. But it's going to be fascinating because once Red Bull fixes these reliability bugs, they're really going to be in the hunt because they were very, very fast. But the Prancing Horse is very quick as well. I think they're almost equal. So it's going to be an interesting fight. And we know Mercedes is going to slowly pick it up. And we'll see that slowly as they compete and develop. And now Lewis Hamilton is ahead of Max Verstappen in points. So that makes everybody feel good. And on the other hand, I have to admit, my big disappointment, there was no Fernando Alonso moments, no Alpine moments. I mean, he made it into Q3, but it's all a sham. I am getting totally bummed out. I don't think Alpine is going to amount to a hill of haricots verts.
Well, speaking of Mercedes, under normal circumstances on Sunday, this would have been a Mercedes-less podium. Lewis must be asking Toto, where do we go from here? Your place or mine? Few years ago, McLaren tried zero packaging for their GP2 engine. Now Mercedes is trying zero side pod philosophy. Long way and more than 20 races to go, so there is time for Brackley boys to get the package wrapped up nicely, so Lucky Lewis, as you call him, can do what he does best, deliver wins and championships. And you know, Mercedes is a very technology-driven company, great engineering depth, they have tremendous history. They will turn this thing around. Lewis was like 0.8 second behind on pace, pure pace. But I think they will figure out how to get this car going fast. And once Lewis has a competitive car, he is in the same league as Max and maybe Charles, that he can take the checkered flag first. So we will see. Okay, one thing for sure, bulls may have been slaughtered in Sakhir, and the star of Mercedes did not shine as brightly as it has been in the hybrid era. But both will come back strongly sooner or later. All good things take time, but if they take their sweet time, then Prancing Horse may be galloping to a championship for one of the jockeys. And the last time they had a champion was Kimi Raikkonen, right? 2007, so it's been a long, long time. I think, Mr. Rogers, we may have a race-winning season from both drivers from three different teams. Alpine and McLaren may throw a surprise here and there, and who will not be happy when Lando or George get their maiden wins, or Nando gets his first win since Suzuka, 2008. And just a reminder, I'm in England right now, and they have good fish and chips in England, in case you had some smarty comments for me, Mr. Rogers.
I have no smarty comments because I'm just a mellow kind of a dude. Hey, but I did laugh. The karma thing really, really was great. Everybody needed a little bit of a, let's put it behind us. And this helped a lot for, especially for Toto. You know, he's even talking about mental issues, mental anguish. I mean, it sucked everything out of the guy. So this karma thing, I think, cleared the air. Now, let's talk about K-Mag. Who's got testicles and who doesn't have testicles at Haas? I'm telling you, finishing fifth really is not only impressive because he beat Schumacher and all that stuff, but it shows that this car could be pretty decent. And we need that in America right now. We need something that's good and decent.
Okay, we'll come to K-Mag in a minute, but going back to karma, Julian Palmer, you know, he's one of the analysts on broadcast, and he also has his own segment on the Formula One website, and he does a very good job. I will have to go and watch these things again. I wonder if he uses the word karma when he's describing different situations. So keep an eye out for that, Mr. Rogers, please. Okay, before we get to K-Mag, who was fifth, George Russell was fourth, and that was race number 61 in his wonderful life so far. And this was the first as teammate to LCH. A little taste of honey for George from his fourth place finish. I am sure other delights will follow. But by the time they get to Hungaro Ring, he will find out that LCH is a very different and harder nut to crack than Wingman Macadamia. Okay, Kevin Magnussen was fifth for me. Clark, this was man of the weekend. What a performance after a year away. Apparently he found and adjusted to the brake pedal very quickly. His pace in Collie and race was serious wake-up Achtung call for Mick Schumacher. Now the question I have for you, you know, at F1 Weekly, we love Formula One. We're not, you know, apart from the Fernando Alonso fascination, you know, we just let the result speak for itself. I just have a feeling that Mick Schumacher really did not have much of a challenge against Nikita Mazepin. But this will make or break his career, at least with Ferrari. Because if K-Mag outqualifies him comprehensively and scores twice as many points, I don't think Ferrari will be interested in Mick Schumacher as one of the, you know, they want top drivers. They might put him in Alfa Romeo somewhere. So I have some concern for the Carter Schumacher. What say you?
Well, you're right. It may wake up young Mick, and he might meet the challenge. Let's give him a chance, of course, because you're right. There was no pressure from Mazepin, and I don't think they had a relationship at all. I think Mick could actually improve his style. Who knows? Let's hope they get along, they talk, and exchange notes, because Mick Schumacher will quickly become, well, what's the word when you just can't go fast? You become an ambassador, and that could...
You've reached and your ceiling, as they say in the aviation business.
Exactly. And once you reach that ceiling, you become an ambassador. He'll become an ambassador for Ferrari. And because obviously Schumacher is just too important of a name to simply dismiss.
One thing I will say, he may not have daddy's speed and talent, but he does have daddy's work ethics. And that makes a huge difference also. Okay. And I'll give you an example. Both his Formula 3 and Formula 2 championships, halfway through the season in the second season in each series, he was nowhere to be found. I never thought he would win Formula 3 championship, but boy, he came back strong. I was having a hard time finishing second in a race. And he did a similar kind of performance in Formula 2. So I think if he realizes, look, I'm 0.2 seconds slower than K-Mag, then I can see this guy digging in deep, going into the Mariana trenches of motorsports. Because now with all the data and telemetry, they can tell him where he's losing time. And then maybe he can launch a counterattack, Operation Barbarossa. And then what he can do is reclaim some ground. And so much of this business or any sports is mental, that if you just don't give up, then pretty much, you know, hopefully you will make less mistake than the faster guy. And voila, you have the same number of points, or, you know, you have a respectable finish at the end of the season. So that I will not be surprised if he pulls it off. Okay, Valtteri Bottas, the original wingman, he was sixth and he was elated. And that's a very good performance for him. And of course, he has retained still good friendship and camaraderie with his ex-teammate, Lewis Carl Hamilton. So that's good. Now, you were saying Alpine didn't do anything. They were not in the news. Well, Ocon did finish seventh, and he came in the news. He made the evening news early in the race when he spun out. I believe he spun out Mick Schumacher, if I'm not mistaken. But he kept on going, and despite the, I think he got a 5-second penalty, he finished seventh. So it was good. Both Alpine's cars got in the points. Your Machismo was 9th, and Yuki Tsunoda was 8th, and I was very surprised to see the AlphaTauri of Pierre Gasly on fire, but that's the way it goes sometimes. And sir, the final championship point from 10th place was taken by the debutant. Dr. Sun Yat-sen would be proud of Guan Yu Zhou.
Hi, I'm Guan Yu Zhou from China, and you are listening to F1 Weekly.
The Chinese driver became, I think he's like the 66th driver to score points on his debut, which is very, very important. I am glad he finished the race and did not go haywire like Yuki-san, even though Yuki-san finished this race ahead of him. So that was good. And China is a big market. And of course, the Grand Prix is again a victim of COVID and a virus or whatever you want to call it. But it's such a large market and the largest car market in the world now. So I think his presence and a decent performance will go a long way to making Formula One very popular in, and he's not like one of those Chinese guys living in San Francisco, born and raised here and representing China. He is one of the homeboys from the mother country. So I think this will be good for the sport. What say you?
Well, he knows that he has to sort of hurry up, and Guan Yu Zhu is short on time. So he needs to pick up the pace and do well right from the get-go, because he knows that when China invades Taiwan, he's out of there.
Well, you know, interesting you say that, but I don't want to get into political stuff, so I won't say what I was going to say. But anyway, looking forward to a great season. Let's hope the Ferrari flame in Bahrain was no flash in the pan. Charles Leclerc is the first driver from Monaco to lead the world championship. His job number one now is to make number two and number eight very challenging for the high rollers and established mega superstars of Formula One. And we know who they are. Apart from Fernando Alonso, of course. Motor racing should be exciting, like Mambo number 5. A little bit of Dijon Prenois, a little bit of Spa and Zonta, and a little bit of my favorite, Monza 1971, all night long. Your final thoughts on the Grand Prix, sir?
Well, we have to sort of go into the basement and talk about Aston Martin.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Nico Hülkenberg came into the party because Sebastian Vettel came down with virus, and we wish him all the best. It may have surprised some people, but having followed his career, he's one of those people who won anything and everything, just like Lewis, before getting to Formula One. I was not surprised at all that he outqualified Lance Stroll. Lance Stroll doesn't have to worry about a job in Formula One, so he can do whatever he wants. I'm not saying that he's going slower than Nico intentionally. But Nico is a good driver, and he had his chances. And obviously, like you always say, no package, no delivery, never got into a best equipment. And that's the way it goes. And I got to say something about Nico Hülkenberg. When he was at Sauber, Esteban Gutierrez was placed there because BMW people liked him, because he had come through Formula BMW, and he had a fantastic junior Formula career. And he was completely blown away by Nico Hülkenberg. And I remember when Carlos Sainz went to Renault, when Nico Hülkenberg was there, and they asked, before the season started, they asked Nico, are you kind of concerned or afraid? He says, no. And he pretty much held his own against Carlos Sainz Jr. too. The only driver as a teammate that he could not overpower or who got the upper hand was Daniel Ricciardo. So this is a good talent. And we'll see how it works out. Your thoughts on the car? The car is beautiful, and that green looks so beautiful on TV. I really, really like this new paint scheme they have now. Kudos to whoever did the paint scheme. Your thoughts on Aston Martin, Senor?
Well, they couldn't get out of Q1. And, of course, Nico had to replace Vettel. And like you said, I was surprised that Nico was able to outqualify his teammate, but really the car is just not performing to where Mr. Vettel would like. If this car does not pick up the pace and start getting into the top 10 next to Alpine, let's say, Vettel's going to be out of there. He's not going to put up with this backmarker thing.
Yeah, you know, I think both he and Fernando Alonso, because of what they have in terms of package, they should make room for some very talented drivers like Oscar Piastri or some other kid. Put them in a good car and put a new guy next to Esteban Ocon, see what he can do.
On that word, Nas, I think it's time for a drink. So why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Okay, sir, some sad news from last week. Swedish driver Reine Wessel passed away. His claim to fame was that he made his Grand Prix debut as teammate to Emerson Fittipaldi in the U.S. Grand Prix, and Fittipaldi won the race and Reine Wessel finished third. You know, debut, podium, fantastic, but as things would turn out, that would remain his only podium of his career, And then, but he was very well known. He also gave Ronnie Peterson his driving racing license. And we interviewed him some years ago when he was living in Thailand. So we had a long, extended conversation with him. And Thailand is the place where he passed away at the age of 80. Again, you know, almost on a regular basis, we have legends of the sport, people, names we grew up with are passing away. And it's, you know, it's very sad. It's like family member passing away, if you know what I mean.
Now, I think, I hope I have the year right, 1966, I believe it was. You were instructor at Karlskoga, and here comes a young Swedish kid by the name of Bengt Ronald Peterson trying to get his F3 license. Yeah. Do you remember that day?
Was it 65 or 66.
Okay. And what was your impression of him before he got going in F3 against you as a driver?
I did not know him at all because he came from go-kart. And he's doing all right. Showed me in a Mercedes diesel how he liked cornering at Karlskoga, and he was doing all right. So I signed his license. But then I joked with him sometimes. That's the worst thing I ever done, you know, to give him the license. But it was more a joke. So I liked him very much. We had a lot of good fun.
Yeah, and you guys were great competitors against each other. Were you friends with him later in life when both of you went to Formula One?
Oh, yeah. I mean, after racing, we always had fun. I mean, at that time, we always could, we were all together. It was after the Formula 3, you know, there was Tim Schenken, Howard, myself, and Ronnie going out for dinner and partying.
Yeah, you mentioned Howden Ganley. You know, he lives not too far from where I live here in California.
Yeah, that's
it. Would you like to convey a message to him? I can call him and tell him I spoke to you.
Yeah. You can do. I will meet him in August. I saw him at Silverstone, actually.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And today, sir, we have a fully loaded burrito and a falafel, as there was Formula 2 and Formula 3 action in Bahrain also. In Formula 2, Dutch Treat and Saturday's sprint race with Richard Verschuur, or maybe the name is Richard Verschuur, winning. He used to be in the Red Bull program. Sunday's feature race was won by your homeboy, Theo Pourchaire, who I think is a very, very talented young guy, and he is in the Sauber driver development program. He is now in his second year in Formula 2. Championship delivery is pretty much a requirement now to move into the promised land of Formula 1. And he's a young kid also. Okay. Then the baby sister of Formula 2 is, of course, Formula 3. And before I forget, sir, good news is Formula 3 had disappeared from Macau, but now they're going to go back the Formula 3 World Championship. And I love that race, so that's very, very good. You know, our friend, F1 Weekly Familia member, Philip Begler, has been there. And I have never been to Macau Grand Prix, of course. And I would love to go there someday. Okay, sir, Formula 3, tremendous start for this young English talent, Oliver Bearman, winning his first ever European F3 race, but not so fast, said Massey of the moment. Penalty for exceeding track limits dropped him to second. French-Algerian driver Isaac Hadjar promoted to top step of the podium. Russian Alexander Smolyar, now racing under a racing license issued by another hotbed of motorsports like Azerbaijan, nation called Andorra, was third. Feature race on Sunday was won by another French driver, Victor Martin. Arthur Leclerc, younger brother of Charles, was second. So the Leclerc brothers are doing good in motorsports. Very nice. Now Victor and Arthur Leclerc are also first and second in the championship, and only 1 point separating the two. And I think that it's going to come down between these two. There are some other very good drivers in this series. And of course, now we come to your favorite series, Le NASCAR. William Byron won the race in his Chevy in the peachy state at Speedy Track called Atlanta Motor Speedway. Did you watch any of this, sir?
No, I'm afraid that I've been busy. I'm almost addicted to NASCAR, but I just couldn't take it in this weekend.
Okay, well, that is some good news for Alpine. In the Sebring 1,000 miles race, which was at Sebring, on Friday, the Alpine A480 won the race with drivers Brazilian André Negrão and two French drivers Nicolas Lapierre and Mathieu Vassivier. Okay, now the Toyota of Sebastian Buemi, Japanese driver by the name of Hirakawa, and Brandon Hartley, Tom Petty of motorsports. They were second in the Toyota GR Gazoo Racing hybrid car. Big crash for Jose Maria Lopez, also known as Pechito, in his Toyota. Good news is, as John Bisignano would say, he is A-OK. Remember John Bisignano from the pit lane reporting in the 1980s from Formula One?
Yep, back in the day.
I met him once, I think, at Laguna Seca. Sebring 12 hours. I was there on Saturday, and this was interesting, Mr. Rogers. First person I ran into, of all the places, was in the loo, and it was cousin Felipe Nasser. Pleased to report a conversation was out in the open and about motor racing.
Of all the places, I run into cousin Felipe Nasser in the loo at Sebring. So, Felipe, how are things going for you?
Quite good. Busy. Because I'm doing both.
I know.
The WEC and then today.
How did it go yesterday?
Yeah, that's bad. The first time for the Team Penske on the WEC series.
And what time you drive today?
I'll drive back.
You're with Penske now, right?
Penske?
Yes. Man, that is a great deal.
It's a beautiful place to be.
I want you to do two things with Roger. Do the Indy 500 and the road course NASCAR.
One day.
Oh, absolutely.
One day. Yeah. That's the plan.
Well, let's go meet your dad. Is
he ready? I don't know if he's... Let's see if he's there.
Okay.
See him. Big guy.
Yeah, okay. Where is your pit? Here?
Here. Right here.
Okay, so I'll wait here.
Okay.
Good to see you again, man.
As the race was going on, and these cars sounded like racing cars, so that was very exciting, I ran into Bobby Vinton of Motorsports, Robert Kubica. We had a brief chat, and he gave me his email address and suggested we do an interview on the phone. He said, I'm with somebody here. Hopefully next month I will zoom in for a chat with him. Kubica was champion in World Series by Renault, and which is how I started the conversation and put a big smile on his face. He gave BMW and Dr. Mario Tyson their one and only success in Formula One as a manufacturer. He had signed a contract to drive for Ferrari when he had a horrendous accident during a rally in Italy. A great racing talent, even Lewis Hamilton has said Robert was one of the best drivers he raced against. Kubica's career could have been a lot more than blue velvet. And so this race, the Sebring 12 Hours, was won by three drivers, one from New Zealand, Earl Bamber, second from England, Alex Lynn. He won the British F3 and at one time was looking on his way to Formula One. That didn't work out. And third was Neil Johnny from Switzerland, and they were driving the Caddyshack for Chip Ganassi Racing. So good for them, and our congratulations to all the winners. Now we come to IndyCar Racing. Swedish cat Felix Rosenqvist on pole. Man from Bluegrass State, Joseph Newgarden, gave the last lap, last corner blues to his own Penske teammate to win the second race of the IndyCar season in the Big D at Texas Motor Speedway. Kiwi Scott McLaughlin was his teammate and is his teammate, and he finished second. And NASCAR legend, seven-time NASCAR champion J.J. Jimmy Johnson let it all hang out for his best IndyCar finish, a solid sixth. It will be interesting to see how he does in the Indy 500. I mean, this guy is so lost on road courses that it's pretty sad. Okay, sir, now we come to MotoGP from Mandalika. The Pertamina, which is the Indonesian oil company, the Petronas of Indonesia, they sponsored this MotoGP race. Miguel Oliveira, he is the Portuguese compadre of Dr. Miguel, riding for KTM. He won the race in wet conditions, so good for him. Reigning world champion, your fellow Francais, Fabio Quartararo, was second for Monster Energy Yamaha, ahead of another Francais, Johan Zarco. Okay, so that's good. Now, I don't know if you've seen this, Marc Márquez, who is with Repsol Honda team. He did not race because he had suffered a concussion. And man, you should see his accident in the warm-up. Very, very scary. Have you seen it?
I have. It was frightening.
Yeah, it was very, very dangerous. Okay, but I'm glad he's okay. Okay, Mr. Rogers, now we come to famous last words. And today, once again, we invite Jacques Villeneuve in the Palatial Studios. And this is what he says about Alpine, and I quote, "They tried to make a car that is fast, even if it is fragile. Instead, they made a car that breaks and is also slow." End quote. As always, JV is on the ball. Bar one. Thank you for listening.
Keep up the good work, Nath. Outstanding. Any quick thoughts on London?
Yes, sir. Thanks for asking. Yes, sir. It's nighttime here and very tired, but tomorrow is a great day. Mr. Brazier and Dr. Mark, we are going to meet at one place, and then we're going to take the tube and the train, and then we're going to go Crystal Palace, and they used to race Formula One cars, non-championship Formula One cars there, British touring cars. I've seen a lot of races, and I've known about this all my life. It's very nice to see old photos from the 60s and 70s at Crystal Palace, and of course, most of the road portion is still there. They don't do races anymore. Kind of like Montjuic Circuit, and Dr. Mark is going to be the tour guide. So I'm really, really looking forward to, and there are no time considerations here. So we're going to spend some quality time. And as Dr. Mark said, Formula One may have dissed Malaysia, but we're going to support Malaysia, and we're going to have some Malay food in the evening. So really, really looking forward to this adventure.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, while you're in the UK, if you could pick up maybe a Citroën key fob for me. You know, you can't get Citroën key fobs in America. Please give my regards to Mr. Brazier and the good doctor, Nath. Get some rest. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.